All right. There's a problem with teeth. The first Sunday, a pastor had all of his remaining teeth pulled. New dentures were made. And the first Sunday after he had that happen, he only preached 10 minutes. Amen. The second Sunday, he only preached 20 minutes. The third Sunday, he preached an hour and 25 minutes. Church members said, "Hey, why in the world did you preach so long on that third Sunday?" He said, "Well, the first Sunday, my gums were so sore it hurt to talk. The second Sunday, my dentures were hurting me a lot. But the third Sunday, I accidentally grabbed my wife's dentures and I couldn't stop talking." Amen. We're going to talk this morning about about Christian Science, about that group and some of the things that they do. This is not Scientology. Scientology is a completely different ball of wax. Christian Science was founded by Mary Baker Eddy. The Scientology was L. Ron Hubbard. They are totally different animals. And if you ever get in contact with somebody that is into Christian Science, there's a few things that you'll need to know about them to be able to tell them about the Lord. Amen?
First thing you know, Obama is not Christian, it's not science.
So it's not very good that way. So, but we're going to talk a little bit about them and what they hold to and some of the things that that they gravitate to. And not today. Did you get one?
No.
That's why. All right, so we're going to go ahead and talk about that. Let's start out with a word of prayer. Now, listen again. I've had some great conversation on the internet. There's a lady that is friends with the Freimeyers, believe it or not, is friends with the Freimeyers, and she is down in Louisiana. She's a professor. She is does a lot of very important things. She has several books that are published, being used at Oxford. And Oxford's a very smart college. And she took the time to email me. She's a Catholic lady. And she was appreciative of the fact that we weren't attacking. We were just talking. And she's emailed me back. And she is very, very, very intelligent. So pray that we'll have good dialogue. And pray that we'll be able to have more time to talk with her a little bit. But she's a very smart lady. I believe she's a saved lady. I really do believe she's a saved lady. But there's a lot of things to talk about there, so please pray for that. Her name is Catherine, right? Catherine. So pray for that. Very, very nice lady, very kind. So make sure that we pray for that lady. But we're going to talk this morning about Christian Science. Let's open up with a word of prayer, and we will get running with that. Brother Mike Freimeyer, would you lead us in prayer, please? Thank you. In your Bibles, if you turn to John chapter 3, and I'm going to read a verse to you. And the reason I'm reading this to you is because of the way that, and I always, in every one of these that we talk about, and again, this is soul winning based. Please understand, this is soul winning based. When I speak to people, I'd like to know their background a little bit. And when I find out what their background is, I want to be at least a little educated on what I'm talking about. I mean, to be real honest with you, we go out soul winning, and if a lot of preachers do this, and I tell you, it's a sad state where they just know what they know and they don't care about what anybody else does, and so they go out, and if you're wrong in their eyes, then you're just stupid, and they go on the attack. And I'm going to tell you, that's not how we need to be. As Christians, we need to be realizing that there's a way to talk to people, and you have to appeal to their intellect. You can't just go ahead and go in there like a bull in a china shop and expect not to break glass. Amen. You've got to do exactly what the Lord would have us to do. That's wise as serpents and gentle as doves. We need to be very make sure that we're very aware of what's going on. The Bible says in John chapter 3, we're going to start in verse 15, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. When I saw this, I began to think about this, And I want to ask you a question, and I think you need to really think about this for a minute, because this dawned on me the other night, and I thought this was very interesting. Do you think religion started, and name whatever they are, there's dates to every one of them, but do you think they only started when Christ came? I'm asking you a question. The reason I'm asking you this, I want you to think with me for a minute. Do you think that when Christ came, there was no other religions on the planet at that time? Do you think that there was nothing? He came down, and then everything started after he was here. Okay, so when you read this, I want you to read this again. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. When he sent his only begotten Son into this world, they knew nothing ever occurred to God. They knew that he was coming down to a place that had established all different types of religions, all different types of places. Yet when he came, he knew that God so loved the world, even though they had all these other religions. For God so loved the world, even though they had all these things that did not believe in Christ. For God so loved the world, even though that they had established all these other paganist philosophies and all this humanism. Even though they had all those things, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. No matter what else was going on in the planet at that time, no matter what else people were turning to, no matter what else they had thoughts in their minds about how to get to heaven, God knew that the only way that they were going to get to heaven was to believe in his Son. And it hasn't changed at all. Not one thing has been different. Now, man has put his own philosophy and his own turns and his own thoughts on it. But understand this. There's only one way to get to heaven. And that's by believing in Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter where you're going. It doesn't matter where you've been. It doesn't matter who you are, who you were, or who you're going to be. Jesus Christ loves you today, and he desires you to go to heaven. He desires you to believe in him. And if we do that, we get heaven. Not that anyone deserves it. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Everybody starts on the same playing field. There's none different, no, not one. And this is what you've got to understand. When we're going through these things, the reason that we're doing these, the reason we're doing this is because everybody was died for. You need to hear that. Everybody was died for. For God so loved the world, everybody. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Whosoever will. It's everybody. No matter who they are, they all deserve that shot. They all deserve us giving them a chance. And it's funny. Most people won't do that because they think, well, there's no way I'm going to convert somebody that's in Christian Science. It's not you that does the converting. Amen. Everybody needs Christ. Amen. So we talk about these. Please understand, when we do these, we're doing these to learn. Not to argue. We're doing these to learn. And I think that lady was very appreciative that we're doing this to learn. Because I want you to know so we can talk intelligently about what's going on. Christian Science, the founders, Mary Baker Eddy, frequently asked questions about Mary Baker Eddy. Who is she? Well, she was born in 1821. She lived to 1910. And she discovered, and this is their website now. This is not my website. This is their website. She discovered the biblically based system of healing through prayer known as Christian Science and established the Church of Christ Scientists to preserve and extend it. A native of New Hampshire, she overcame both personal challenges and prejudices of her time to become an influential author, healer, and religious leader. Her achievements include establishing a religious movement, starting numerous publications, an international newspaper among them, that's that Christian Science Monitor, and writing a groundbreaking textbook, Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures, that has brought inspiration and healing to millions of people around the world. The Mary Baker Eddy Library, located in Boston, provides public access to her extensive writings and historic documents. Now understand, she wasn't like our preacher that doesn't like doctors. She didn't take you to doctors at all. She didn't believe it was necessary to go to a doctor at any time for anything. So if you had the flu, you should be able to pray through the flu. You should be able to do that very, very easily just by prayer. Now it's not faith healing. It's really, really bizarre. It's not faith healing. It's a point that you come to that you are praying so much that you get rid of your sickness. Can I ask you a question? Why would you pray when you're sick? Why wouldn't you pray when you're well to not be sick? Because that's what their whole everything that I read, and I read lots, but everything I read based on their success in healing through prayer. And let me tell you something, prayer is powerful. It's the most powerful tool we have. We never use it. Amen? But prayer is the most powerful tool we have. It's amazing how little we talk to God. It's amazing how little we care about talking to our Creator. It's amazing how little we'll tug on the coattails of Christ and say, "Hey, Lord, I got a question for you." It's amazing how often that we'll try to settle everything we have, but God's the last resort. You can say amen to that. It's amazing how we have this great power and this great truth, preacher, of having the pure word of God. It's amazing that we've got all this great power and this great truth of being able to come boldly to the throne of grace. It's amazing that we won't use prayer while we're well. It's amazing we won't use prayer as preventative. It's amazing we won't use prayer. They are so excited about something healing. God can heal in amazing ways. But it's amazing that they don't come to their mind, "Well, Lord, I sure would like not to get the flu this year. Lord, I sure would like to not be sick. Lord, I can't stop. Lord, please don't make me sick. Lord, please don't let me get ill." It's amazing that we pervert prayer so much, preacher, that we're only using it when we need something. When's the last time? Boy, I'm fired up about this. I hope you're not bored right now. When's the last time you talked to God and said, "What can I do for you? Not what can you do for me?" Amen. When's the last time you talked to God and said, "Lord, I would just like you to have your will in my life"? Yes. We talked about this before, and one of my lessons, what's amazing to me, is that we can't make a determined decision to let God direct our lives through prayer. You say, "Well, how do you do that, Brother Dave?" You offer yourself. Amen. "Lord, please use me in any way." It's amazing how dim the world will become when you look towards God all the time. Don't worry, keep looking at Him. I know it's bright, but your eyes will adjust. Amen. See, what's amazing is this. We live our lives, Brother Brian, worried about what this world does. We live our lives worried about what the people outside of us are going to think. We as Baptist people, we ought not worry about that. We know that God has control of our lives.
Amen.
By Him all things consist. And it's amazing to me that we decide not to use Him before we need Him.
Yes.
You know, if you have a best friend or somebody that you're close to, you don't have to talk about things that you need from your best friend all the time. You'll talk to him about nothing. Or ladies, good Lord, have mercy. You will talk to your best friend about nothing for hours.
Amen.
No, listen to me. Don't say, "Hey, you know you do." Let me ask you a question. When's the last time you talked to God about nothing?
Yep.
The Bible describes it as a friend that sticketh closer to a brother. Amen. We worry. We got, "Oh, I've got to meet, when I meet God, I've got to use a dictionary. And I've got to look through to make sure I've got the right words. My Father who art in heaven, thy hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done." That is a guideline prayer that God gave us. That's a guideline. It's amazing that the apostles, they got to handle Christ. They got to be close to Him. Do you think for one minute that they didn't feel like they had access to Jesus Christ? Do you realize He's still the same as He ever was?
Amen.
Why is it? And the reason I'm saying this is because it seems to me that their prayer surrounds healing. Amen for that. I'm glad that you prayed for healing. But why do we use prayer only when we absolutely have to have it? I think what you need and use that thought process and do it, and show it towards God one time.
Amen.
Say, I need prayer today. No matter what, I love to hear people say, when I got up in the morning, I pray. Because how much better is your day going to go when you talk to God first? How much better is your day going to go when you pray to Him, say, Lord, please direct me throughout this day. Lord, please help me. I don't know what's coming. Why in the world do we have to know what we're going through before we pray about it? Pray that God directs every step that you have. You say, well, I'm not good enough to pray. You're right, you're not good enough to pray. But Lord, have mercy. He asked you to come boldly to the throne of grace. He desires you to come.
Amen.
All right, I'll get off that. Do Christian scientists worship her? I'm going to skip all that because they say they don't. But here's what I want you to see. This is her quoting Mary Baker Eddy. Whosoever looks to me personally for his health or holiness mistakes. He that by reason of human love or hatred or any other cause clings to my material personality greatly errs, stops his own progress, and loses the path, and listen to this, loses the path to health, happiness, and heaven. Wait. Why is that important? Why is that interesting? It's interesting because they don't believe in heaven. So how in the world do you not believe in heaven? Not as do Christian scientists believe in heaven and hell? Not as places or as part of an afterlife, but certainly as a state of mind. How would you like to be going through a hell state of mind today? You know, my state of mind's right in hell right now. I walk around, I'm burning. Christian science theology does not include a final judgment day. Every day, each individual can make a new choice that determines the path he or she is on. A pathway away from God or towards Him. Now, listen to me. There's two things. One, do you believe that Jesus is the same as God? And we're not going to dwell a whole lot of time. I'm talking, when you're soul winning with somebody and you come to a Christian scientist, you got to know this stuff. Because if they don't believe in heaven and hell, you're not going to get very far. Do you believe that Jesus is the same as God? No. But Christian scientists do believe that Jesus stands alone in His mission and purpose as the promised Messiah. Christian science teaches that Jesus embodied the divinity of God, but that He Himself was not deity. In keeping with Jesus' own words, that He was not the Father and that God the Father alone should be worshipped. And that's not King James, but understand this. They don't believe, and we really don't need to go any further. I'm not going to read all this other stuff to you. Listen to me. If you don't believe in heaven and hell, can I ask you a question? When you're thinking about witnessing to somebody like this, if you don't believe in heaven and hell, can I ask you something? Why did Christ come? If you don't believe in heaven and hell, if there's no hell, let's just stick with hell. Because most people have, well, I believe there's a heaven, but there can't be a hell. If there's no hell, why did Christ come? Because if there's no hell, there's no reason for Him to get beat beyond recognition of man. If there's no hell, then there's no reason for Christ to go to that cross and die for your sins and for my sins. If there's no hell, there's no reason for Him to shed His blood on that cross. If there's no hell, there's no reason for Him to get His beard plucked. If there's no hell, there's no reason for Him to wear the crown of thorns. If there's no hell, there's no reason for Him to come out of the splendors of glory and come down here and breathe the first breath He took in a stable.
Amen.
There's no reason for Christ to come if there's no hell, because Christ came to save you from hell. He came as a propitiation for your sins. He came because He loved you. He came because He needed to die for you. He came because something had to satisfy an holy and outraged God.
Amen.
And the only thing that there was Christ, His only begotten. If there is no heaven, what are we happy about today?
Amen.
If there is no heaven, why in the world are we excited? If there is no heaven, see, here's the thing. People know that there is a God. People understand, listen to me. If it's a state of mind, then why do we care about calling it Christian? If heaven is a state of mind, why do you need to be? Let me tell you something. Do you think Christ ever talked about hell while He walked this earth? Do you think Christ ever talked about heaven while He walked this earth? You need to understand this, folks, because what you're dealing with is a humanistic philosophy. And it all boils down, every time we start talking about how do you soul win to the, every single time it's
got to start out with, what do you do with Christ?
Yeah, right.
There's no other place to start. What do you do with Christ? Folks, if you have not trusted Christ as your personal Savior and you're in this room today, I promise you, you need to accept Him as Savior or you will go to hell forever.
Yeah.
Well, I don't believe that, preacher!
It doesn't change
that. See, what's sad is we worry about the semantics of this. We worry about, well, glory to God, they've got Mary Baker Frietti. Lord have mercy, she's a terrible person. Don't worry about that. Don't worry about the founders. Don't worry about the people. What do you do with the Son of God?
Amen.
What do you do with Christ? Don't worry about the faith healing. Don't worry about the people that don't send their kids to the doctors and just let them die. You don't hear about those reports, but they're there. If you don't go to the doctor and you're sick, you're going to die. Yes, your body can heal you, but I understand this. They have a choice of whether or not to get a broken leg set. A choice. If your leg's broke and it won't work,
yeah,
you're going to get it fixed.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
Yes, you see, here's the thing. Did God all things consist through God, right? Amen?
Yes. Amen.
You know God made doctors too? He really did. And I'm going to tell you right now, I had hiatal hernia surgery done. Thank God. I don't have heartburn anymore. I don't think I would have prayed the heartburn away. God gave us common sense. God gave us a brain. God gave us thought. Let me tell you something. I'm thankful that my preacher's on blood pressure medicine.
Amen.
And yes, I believe that God could miraculously heal his blood pressure by laying on him. But God gave him common sense to say, go get some medication. See, what we've got to understand is this. What you do with Christ, and in every one of them gets around, every last one of them gets around dealing with Jesus Christ. I've learned that from studying these. They get around dealing with Jesus Christ. They get around dealing with heaven and hell. Hey, listen to me. It is a hard thing to understand that there is a hell that you will go to if you don't believe in Jesus Christ. It's a hard thing for humans to comprehend. Don't get mad at somebody when they don't understand it. Because it's hard to comprehend. Their first thought is, why would God that loves so much send me to hell? It's not God that sends them. It's them rejecting Jesus Christ. We live in a world today that humans want to do what they can do to merit heaven. They want to do what they can do to merit favor from God. But grace is unmerited favor. All our righteousness is as filthy rags. Everything we have to offer, everything means nothing unless Christ works through us. When you read these verses, whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Listen to this now, verse 17, and I'm all done. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, and the world was a mess when he came. Amen? God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Look at me and listen to me. I understand why people do what they do. The thought of eternal damnation and hellfire is frightening. But you know it's not frightening enough for people to search the scriptures. It's not frightening enough for us to go out and tell people. I'm glad I got one person that said right.
Amen.
It's not frightening enough, apparently, for us to go out and tell people about Christ. Listen to me. I believe with all my heart that if one of my relatives were to die and I never told them, I don't know that I could ever forget. forgive myself. If one of my friends were to die without Christ, not because they rejected him or the testimony that I gave them or the witness that I gave them, but because I did not witness them, they die and go to hell, I don't know that I can forgive myself. Well, Brother Dave, you don't understand, they're Christian Scientists. Does that exclude them from hearing your voice?
No.
Does that exclude them from hearing about Christ? Because Christ came into the world not to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. That's everybody. Whosoever will may come. It doesn't matter what religious background, it doesn't matter what denomination you are. What matters is what do you do with Christ? And are you afraid enough of that eternal damnation? Are you afraid enough to let anybody go there without you telling them about Christ? That's what happens. We start talking about these different sects of religions and we say, well, but they're so dumb, they'll never accept Christ. You are dumb too.
Amen.
You just got lucky enough to accept him. We've got to get a tender heart for souls today. We've got to get a compassionate heart for souls today. Because you've got to start looking at people through the eyes of Christ, not through the eyes of man. You've got to look at them as every single person you come across as a living soul that breathes, and someday is going to breathe the air of heaven, or someday is going to breathe the foul stench of hell, and there's no way you're going to get around it.
Right.
Why do we study these things? I don't want to sit there and make fun of them. I want them to get to know Christ. I want them to get to know why he came. I want them to get to know why he shed his blood and died for you and for me. And if we don't start getting a compassionate heart, they said, the numbers of people who are going to church are increasing. They're increasing. The number of people that are getting saved, I bet you, is going down. Well, bless God, Brother David, they go to church. That doesn't mean a thing.
Right.
What do you do with Christ? Get that in your hearts. Get that in your heads and soul. Don't worry about talking about the semantics of the religion. What do you do with Christ? Well, I'm Baptist. Don't worry about that. What do you do with Christ? Well, I'm a King James believer. Amen. Glory to God. But what do you do with Christ?
Yep.
The whole question always comes to, what do you do with Christ? If you reject him, you go to hell and burn forever. Can't change it. Can't fix it. Doesn't matter what you say, argue with me, meet me out in the parking lot if you want to, but if you don't believe in Christ and you die, you go straight to hell and burn forever.
Yes, sir.
And if you believe in Christ, unworthy and undone and moth-ridden and filthy and scummy as we are, glory to God, if you believe in Christ, you go to heaven.
Amen.
And you can't change that either, because no man should pluck you out of my hand. No man should pluck you out of my Father's hand. And it doesn't matter who you are or where you've been, where you're going, what you've done. If you believe in Christ, you're going to go to heaven, and I can't wait. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you so much for the opportunity to teach Sunday school. Lord, I thank you that I've discovered the truth. Because, Lord, there's a lot of folks out there today that are missing it. And, Lord, I believe there's a lot of folks in this room right now that are missing the thought of soul winning. They're missing the thought of telling people about you because there's something that's in the way. There's something that's stopping them. Lord, have mercy on us. Lord, there ought to be nothing that stops us of telling people about you. There ought to be not one thing. Lord, help us to get bolder. Help us to get more concerned. And help us to realize that hell hath enlarged herself. And it continues to do that every single minute. Lord, please help us today. Let us have a great day in church. Please heal up my preacher. Heal up my preacher, Lord. Let him preach with fire. Anoint him today, Lord. Anoint his lips and let him speak exactly what you'd have him to speak. Lord, I'm thankful for the folks that are here for the first time. Lord, be with them in a special way. And Lord, if there's one in here that doesn't know you as Savior, Lord, don't let them leave this building today until they come forward and get it settled with what do they do with you. And I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.